Is healing the will of God? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This verse refers to his life upon the earth. And on the earth he was anointed to do good, and part of the good he did was to heal those. You notice it says oppressed by the devil. That word oppressed means to be tyrannized, harassed, overpowered. You watch a boxer in a match being overpowered by the other boxer, or a wrestler being overpowered by the other wrestler, or a team being overpowered by the strength and the tactics of the other team. Well, it says Jesus went about healing those that were oppressed. We can tell healing's the will of God simply by following Jesus on the earth. Now, 1 John 3:8, you familiar with 1 John 3:8? It says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if we read this verse, we see he healed those that were what? Oppressed of the devil. Overpowered. You've been harassed. You can have a dog in the house harasses you. Have you noticed that? Always under your feet. Always barking at you about something. Some days our bird is in a tweeting mood. I don't know what happens to him. And after a while you want to say, do you mind? Just, you know, makes lots of racket. And Ashley, our granddaughter, come in and say, Mima, make him hush. Well, I can't. It's aggravating. It's frustrating. Well, that's what this word oppressed means. Now, Jesus healed those that were oppressed of the devil. That means if the sickness came from God, he didn't heal you. Would you come to that conclusion if we turn that verse around in the negative? Would that bother you? He healed those that were oppressed of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, he came to destroy or render inoperative sickness and disease, because sickness and disease, according to this verse, comes from the devil. Is not that right? Now look at Matthew 4. I'm going to give you plenty of proof. We can tell that healing is the will of God simply by following Jesus on the earth. He came to heal those oppressed of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And in destroying the works of the devil, he began to destroy sickness and disease. 4:23, Jesus went forth all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. How many?
All.
Does it sound like they're being selective? Just going through and selecting those that look like good candidates for healing? I mean, how would we do that anyway? How would we know? If God only healed some and didn't heal others, how would we know? In order to bring them to Jesus, in order to bring them to the church, in order to put them in a prayer line, if God were being selective, how would we cooperate with God? Healing all sick people that are taken with various diseases and torments. You'll notice when it talks about sickness and disease, the words are not attractive words. Torment, oppression, harassment, tyrannize, bondage. Does that sound like anything we're interested in? Those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and what happened? He healed them. Now you'll notice in verse 23, he was in all Galilee. In other words, he was in a large geographical area, and people went through that geographical area and gathered up all sick people and brought them to Jesus. No evidence that they were selecting particular people. And everybody that came, he healed them all, whether they were lunatic, that means they had mental distress. You know, God heals mental distress just like he would a physical disorder. And it's just as debilitating, sometimes even worse, when you're not of sound mind. And what does the scripture say? God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and what?
A sound mind.
A sound mind. So they brought those that were physically distressed, those that were not of sound mind, those that were lunatic, and it says he healed them. Now you would think in a crowd that large, because it says it was a multitude. How many's in a multitude? Two or three? See, I don't think we have any concept of a multitude, unless you look at some of the pictures from F.F. Bosworth or some of the other men of old who went throughout nations and gathered in multitudes, and they counted them by acres. So many acres of people. Now, if you have a house on a lot and all of that lot was full of people, you'd be impressed, wouldn't you? What if you have acreage and you had your 5 acres full of people? So there were 5 acres of people here. Now, you would know in a great multitude, so Jesus is just going to heal those oppressed of the devil, those that are harassed or tyrannized by the devil, those that the devil has hurt, harmed, and hindered. He's going to heal those oppressed in his life on the earth. He is to destroy the work of the devil. He's going to begin the work of God on the earth by personally appearing and destroying the works of the devil. He comes to a whole multitude. There wasn't anybody in that multitude that should have remained sick because he healed them all. Either that or Jesus wasn't very intelligent. Which do you think it was? Now look at chapter 9. I'm supposed to be able to see better. Verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. How many of them?
All.
Is there a process of selection here? Doesn't appear so, does it? Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what?
All.
And the King James says every sickness, every disease among the people. Healing how many?
Every.
How many diseases?
Every.
It's amazing over the passage of time that God has moved from healing all to selecting some. Because basically, the church world as a whole believes he selects some. And they believe there's no particular reason that we could understand for his selection. And yet we go through the scripture. Said he could heal every sickness and every disease. Now look at chapter 12, verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence in great multitudes. Now, multitude, what's the difference in a multitude and a great multitude? I mean, I'm impressed with a multitude, aren't you?
Yes.
If you give a birthday party and 20 little kids show up, you think you got a multitude, don't you? You think, oh. A great multitude followed him and he what? He healed them all. How many of them did he heal?
All.
He healed them all. He made a selection. He healed a few. Some he wanted to stay sick. Some God made sick. So we have to measure what we hear in the world with the word of God. In a multitude. Can you imagine? In a multitude. I was watching a video that comes from Africa where there was at this time a multitude of people. Acres and acres of people. And the man of God speaking, most fascinating thing, he lifted his hand. And the glory of the Lord came, and they all fell backward onto the ground by rows, by waves. It just went blap, 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 all the way till your eye could no longer see. All of them. How many of them?
All.
How many of them?
All.
How many diseases?
All.
All and every. Now look at chapter 14. Verse 14, chapter 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and what?
Healed their sick.
And it said he came to destroy the work of the devil. It says sickness was an oppression of the devil, Acts 10:38. It says he went about doing good. So to heal was to what? Was to do good. And everywhere he went, without selection, without some mysterious divine order that we don't understand, he healed them. Now, has Jesus changed? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which would mean to us he's still what? Still heals them all. He's the same. Still heals them all. Otherwise, that verse would have to say Jesus Christ yesterday, but not today. And not forever. Wouldn't it? Malachi says, I am the Lord thy God. I change
not.
Now Jesus is doing the work of God on the earth. Look at John. Let's read a few verses. He's doing the work of God on the earth. Does God change? No. I change not. So what God was doing, would he still do today? Yes, if he didn't still do it today, then guess what? He's changed. He's not the same. And then the Bible's not true. And then if that part's not true, which part is the truth? You know, if you edit the Bible, take away those parts that you don't like or you don't feel like are valid today, you're not going to have much left. Because healing is in every book of the Bible. God has always been the healer. Jesus, the same God, the same. Now, Jesus was God walking on the earth, and the Word was made flesh, John 1:14, dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. Jesus was God on the earth. He was God in flesh. Now, let me draw that for you so you can see it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in heaven. Before the world was ever created, they said, let us make man in our image. They worked together to create the earth, to put Adam in the earth. Then when we come to John 14, it says the Word was made flesh. Now these are spirit beings without physical bodies. When the Word was made flesh, the Word, the Spirit, took on a physical body and was born in Bethlehem. The Word was made flesh. It's the same Word that had always been through eternity. It wasn't a different Word. Jesus, who had been always in heaven with the Father, who is the Word, came to earth, took upon a physical body in heaven with the Father in spirit form. Before the world was created, he was God. When he comes to earth, takes on that physical body, he is still God. The Word was made flesh. Now, when he walks on the earth, he walks as God, but he ministers as man. In ministry, he was man. It says he laid aside his mighty power and glory in order to minister as a man, to do what man could do under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. Now, in John, there's some powerful verses as to what he was doing. That says he was doing good or bad?
Good.
And what was the good he was doing?
Good.
And why? Because he came to destroy the
devil.
Now, in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat is to what? Who sent him? He said over and over again, my Father sent me. So he came to do the will of what? The Father. Now look at chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Now could he of himself, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit working together, did they create the world? Now he comes to earth and he becomes dependent. He says, I can't do anything of myself. Everything he does, everything he says is as the Father directs him. So he is the will of God walking on the earth. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Who's he listening to? Listen to his Father. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So if he came to do the will of the Father that sent him, and he did not do the will of the Father that sent him, then he's not the perfect Son of God. He's made mistakes. See, some things are just reasonable. Is he the perfect Son of God?
Yeah.
Did he live and die without mistake? Was he the sinless Son of God?
Yes.
Then did he do the will of the Father?
Yes.
Did he say he came to do the will of the Father?
Yes.
Now he said, I do always those things that please the Father. I love that verse. Wouldn't you like that for yourself?
Yes.
I do always. In the Greek, the word always means every when. It comes from several words. It means every when. Always. When? When are you going to do that? Every when. Always. Look at 6:38. Always do those things which please. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what did God send him to do? How God anointed? Who anointed? Who anointed? For what purpose? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good. How was he doing good? And healing all those oppressed of the devil. Because God anointed him to do that. Because he comes to do the will of God. Now, if God doesn't change, his will doesn't change. He still wants men to be free from the oppression, the overpowering, tyrannizing harassment of sickness and disease, of mental incompetency, of lack of depression. I don't know if you've ever been critically depressed, medically depressed. I've walked with people who've been medically depressed. It's a tremendous foe. There's no way you can walk next to somebody who no longer can function in life because of depression and believe that's the will of God. It says he was doing good and what? Healing. Healing. Healing all that were what? Oppressed, tyrannized, harassed, overpowered by the... Now if he came to do the will of God and God doesn't change, then what's happening today? God is still anointing men to lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
That's why I said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? They might recover. Give it a try. Hope it works out for you. They shall recover because God is working as he always has. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Now look at chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. Now where did we see that phrase? How God anointed. Who anointed? The anointing is the power. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the man. Jesus of Nazareth was Jesus the man. With the Holy Ghost and power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How? For God was. How is he with him? The same way he's with me by the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. It says, he that sent me is what? With me. How is he with him? In power. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. Now look at chapter 14. We're just talking about laying our groundwork is healing the will of God. We can follow the life of Jesus, the work of Jesus on the earth, the purpose for which he came, the unalterable nature of Almighty God, and know it's still healing. It's still for all. Still for all. Now 14:10 and then 12. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. First it talks about the words, and then it talks about the works. It says, I speak the words of the Father. He said that many times in the book of John. Then he says, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Who's doing the work? Who did he say was doing the work? Who's ordering the work? Whose will is it, this work? The man at the pool of Bethesda, whose will was that? Who did that? What about the man that came on behalf of his servant? Was that the will of God? Was that the Father doing the work? What about the man with leprosy? Was that the will of God? Was that the Father doing the work? When did God change? When did he alter the good that he would do on the earth? Who altered? Who changed? Man. But not Almighty God. Now, verse 12 is a wonderful verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, who's he talking to? He that believeth. Are you a believer? Did he say, he that believeth me in the first century? Because theology would have you believe that, yes, you're right. He did heal, but he no longer heals. Healing died when the last apostle died. They'd have you to believe that. So he that believeth on me, the works that I do, first century only. Does it say that? Shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, he goes unto the Father, and the same anointing that he walked on is now going to be distributed among man. The anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost is here to heal. Now look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus' commission on the earth. The thing the Father sent him to do that he knew he was to come do. See, we know healing is the will of God simply by looking at the work of God upon the earth through his only begotten Son. No one could convince you if they said, well, he used to save from sin, but he doesn't save from sin anymore. You wouldn't believe that. And we shouldn't believe he used to heal, but he doesn't anymore. Or he used to heal everybody, now he only heals some. Then what's happened to him? He's changed. Yet he said he wouldn't change. Didn't he say he wouldn't change? Didn't he say he wouldn't change? He did, didn't he? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. These are the words of Jesus from the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is the power, the anointing that Acts 10:38 talked about. Because he hath anointed me to what? To preach. He hath sent me to what? And then he hath sent me to heal. That word broken heart is very interesting. It means those completely crushed and shattered. Sometimes life's dilemma leaves us shattered. But what does Jesus do? What does the anointing do? It heals those that are shattered. To preach deliverance to the captives. We'll come back to that. Recovering of sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, we believe men continue to preach. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And we believe men and women continue to preach under the anointing of the Spirit. Why not believe the whole Bible and believe they continue to lay hands on the sick? They continue to bring healing by the anointing of the Spirit of God on all the people. Because that was Jesus' commission. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to bring sight to the blind. He's going to deliver the captive. He's going to deliver the captive. Now, you can be captive to sin. You can be captive to disease. You know, some people are captive to Coke. Some people are captive to coffee. And some people are captive to sugar. And some people are captive to marijuana or some drug. But you notice he came to deliver the captive. Doesn't matter if it's sin or sickness. He came to deliver. When you're captive, you're bound, you're tied, you're restricted. You're hampered, you're hindered. You know, that's why we capture them, put them in jail. We want them bound, don't we? Didn't we do that on purpose? We want to say, this is when you can go to the telephone, this is how long you can talk. This is when you can eat, and here's what you can eat. And in prison, they tell you. It says he came to set free the captive of sin. So that even in prison, if you have to serve out a natural sentence because of misdeeds, you still have a free spirit. You've come to God and you're free. Now I'll show you this word captive or bondage again. Look at Luke 13. Does the work of Jesus prove that he is healing the sick, that healing is his will? It absolutely does. We could just check his life on earth and know he healed the oppressed, he healed the captive, he set those in bondage free. The anointing that was on Jesus is now distributed in the church. Do you believe that? Now, this is the woman that was bowed over. Now, he said, woman, thou art loosed. Now, he said, I'm only going to do the will of my Father. So, was it the will of the Father that she be loosed? Do we have any cases in the Bible where Jesus came to someone, sick person, and said, you know, it's not my will. I'm so sorry. Who penciled that at the bottom of your Bible? Who etched that in your mind?
Man.
Now, it says of this woman, Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. Who bound her?
Satan.
Lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Satan bound her. Who was oppressing? According to Acts 10:38, the devil. Who binds? The devil. Is sickness a freedom? You ever had the flu and you thought, wow, this is great, isn't it? I love this. Get to take a couple days off. So Satan binds. He binds, he restricts, he ties. He holds in bondage just like we hold prisoners in bondage. But not for good. He binds for evil. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, you know, you can't leave home today. Sickness begins to call the shots in your life. It tells you what you can and can't do. Depression begins to tell you how you can think, how you can function, or how you can cease functioning. Mental disorders. And then it says, in fact, you can't leave the bedroom today. In fact, I tell you what, you can't leave bed today. It tells you what you can and can't do. You notice that? And if you have a job where you have no sick time, as some people do, it says, and you'll get no money either. Begins to take. Begins to steal. Begins to command and demand. Does God command or lead? And if he brings sickness into your life, he's not leading, he's commanding. And yet he said, the sons of God are commanded, the sons of God are led. So Jesus is God walking. Is he God? The Word was made flesh. Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Was he doing the will of God?
Yes.
Did he say we could continue to do the will of God?
Yes.
Is God with you?
Yes.
As God was with him?
Yes.
Now there is a difference in that he was God that was made flesh and I'm flesh that takes on the nature of God. And there's a vast difference. And yet the anointing that came upon Jesus when he was baptized, so the Holy Spirit came upon him and what? Remained. Said it came and remained. That the same anointing comes upon you and I. We have the Holy Ghost in us and then he comes upon us. The anointing. Is the anointing still here?
Amen.
Does it still do what it always did?
Amen.
Now look at Acts chapter 1. This is a great verse. 1:1. I just look at his life and know that God hadn't changed. He's the healer. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the healer. The work of God was being done through Jesus. Now it's being done through men who walk with God. Is the Bible changed? Are the promises no longer true? Some of them true, some of them aren't true. You know, we don't need to make excuses for God, do we? Just in case he can't carry through. The former treatise, Have I Made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, what? To do and teach. All that Jesus, what?
Began.
All that Jesus, what?
Began.
You know, you can start something in the kitchen and have to run to the wash machine or the dryer. You know, the wash machine never, and the dryer, they never buzz when you're free. Have you noticed that? And what do you say? Would you stir this? So I've begun something, I want you to finish it. Now, he said Jesus began something. It didn't say he finished. He began. He what?
He began.
Who's going to finish it?
We are.
Following his directive, following the orders of the Holy Ghost, allowing the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to flow through us. He began. Now let me show you. The life of Jesus showed the will of God, and the will of God and the work of God goes on like it always has. Look at Acts chapter 4, 3 and 4, you're familiar. The man that was healed at the gate called Beautiful. Well, you know, if healing ceases, how are we going to know when it ceased? Or if it tapers off, it was for all and now it's for some. How are we going to know and judge? There would have to be a point of time in history where we could look at, where we could see there's a large gap here that was never, ever breached or eliminated. And yet, as we look through the scripture and on into written history, there are some gaps. But even in the gaps where the word of God was not strong because people were not listening, such as the Dark Ages, there's still a flurry of healing. And when we come to the end of that age or that time span, there's a fire, a flame, an ember that's ignited. And we see once again God's hand extended in great might and great power. There's never a point where it was not. Never. And you think the slowdown, whose fault was that? That God ordained the Dark Ages?
No.
See, they took the Bible from the people. They put it in the hands of dignitaries and hierarchy. And they seal the dignitary in monasteries and homes. And without the word in the hands of the people, the world became dark and without light. But you think that's the way God wanted?
No.
God so loved the world, but don't tell him. He gave his son, but don't mention that. Just let the few people have a copy of the Bible. Let them know that. Now we come to Acts chapter 5. 3 and 4, we have a wonderful healing. We'll not read that. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs. How many is many? Many signs and wonders wrought. Where were they wrought? Among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. Believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. How many people are we dealing with?
Multitudes.
Both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So we are into the first century and God is still healing. And he's using men. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father and brought healing to the multitudes. Healed them all. And now the apostles are bringing healing to the multitudes. Such strength of anointing. Can you imagine? I had that happen to me one time. I went to a meeting to hear a lady speak, a lady I'd heard of decades ago. You know, I've been around several decades. And she was teaching and just talking down the aisle like this. I was all the way in the back, honest. And when she passed by me, there was about three people. I was with a couple other people. And when she passed by, the strength of the anointing on her, we just went blam, blam, blam. Can you imagine Peter just passing by? The strength of the anointing. God with him. The anointing is God with you, God on you, God through you. And they were healed. Now, how do you suppose if God's not healing everybody that they know who to lay in the streets? Where's the criteria? This is the only book we have to go by, isn't it? Do we have any other references? Do you know there's no criteria in here who to bring, who not to bring? I remember the first time I laid hands on a lady, she wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was brand new myself. I wasn't full of confidence. In fact, I had very little confidence, and I actually didn't know exactly how to go about helping her to accomplish her goal. So I let her know, well, we'll try this, but I'm not certain that we can make it work. So having put that much doubt into the situation, she didn't receive. Now, whose fault was that? It was mine. It was mine. Well, can we blame that on God, the fact that I didn't know what I was doing? Who told them who to lay in the street? They just brought everybody. So the work, the life of Jesus that began the work of God. Look at chapter 14. We could read many examples. There's so many in the book of Acts. We'll just read a few. Verse 8, you're aware of the man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. So a number of years have passed since Jesus' death, and yet the work goes on. The anointing that healed the sick passes into the hands of man, same Holy Ghost, and healing goes on. Now, I like this. He says, verse 7, he preached the gospel. Through the gospel, this man got healed. Through the gospel, gospel's good news. The man got healed through the gospel, did he not? Is that what it says? He preached the gospel. The same heard Paul speak. What was Paul speaking? The gospel. How did this man know he was one that the gospel would apply to? That the gospel would work for him? Said he heard the gospel and had faith. Gospel worked for redheads. People in some geographical region. People with blue eyes. Who's it work for? So I just look at the life of Jesus and see he began the work of God. He was anointed by God. He healed all. Now look at one of the final chapters of Acts. Chapter 28. Verse 8. Came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of the fever, bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in, prayed, and laid his hands on and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came, and what happened? Who do you suppose these others were? People heard the voice of the Lord? This one man was healed and said others came. Who do you think came? Everybody that heard this man, did you hear that Publius' father had been healed? Everybody that heard that came running. Why? They wanted the same thing and they could receive it. Just exactly what God does for one, he does for all. Has he changed? No. Did he heal all? Yes. Does he heal all? Yes. Did he work with the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Does he still work with the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Did he anoint Jesus the man? Yes. Does he anoint men on the earth today? Yes. Now what hinders and hampers healing for all? Doubt and unbelief. No. I like the verse from the ends of John where Jesus was explaining the scripture to two men who didn't recognize him. And he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Have you ever been there? I have. I thought, I don't know. Let me think about it. Fools and slow of heart to, what did he call the one slow to believe? I didn't call him that. What did Jesus say? Fools and slow of heart to believe. So I can read and believe. Can you read and believe? And read till you believe? Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Jesus' life gives us absolute, unshatterable, unalterable proof that healing is the will of God. It always was the will of God. Now a lot of theology says Jesus healed to prove he was the Son of God. But the scripture doesn't say that. Now look at chapter 2, verse 6. Who being Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Was he equal with God? Was he taking anything from God being equal with him? Absolutely not. What does equal mean?
Same.
The same as. But, see that but? Was he equal? But. He was equal, but he made himself of no reputation. Now we don't use the word reputation exactly like they did. You know, this English comes from 1611. We weren't around in 1611. It's like you say peachy keen to a young kid, and one of my children said, that is dumb. Well, I says, no more dumb than cool. Or I love modern technology, modern words. They alter them and change them with Now, nobody has a problem. Everybody has an issue. We have issues. I said, I love that. I love that. We don't have any more problems. We have issues. Well, made himself of no reputation is such a word that the use of it's been altered over time. The American Standard Bible says he emptied himself. Now, you go to the refrigerator, you take out a Coke, you drink all the Coke, you empty the Coke. What's left in the bottom of the can if you emptied it?
Nothing.
So if Jesus emptied himself, what did he empty himself of? Was he still God?
Yes.
Was he less than God?
No.
On the earth, was he God?
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. He was God. So he didn't empty himself of deity, of his divinity, did he? Now Luke 2 says, keep your finger right here. You don't have to turn there, because you know that. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus grew in what?
Wisdom.
Jesus grew in what?
Wisdom.
Stature and favor with God and man. If he grew in wisdom, he must have come without wisdom. There must have been things he had known before he came that he no longer knows. If he knew everything he'd always known, he wouldn't have had to grow in wisdom. Is that right or wrong? And it's talking about Jesus the boy, Jesus the child, grew in what? Now keep your finger here and look at John 17. It says he emptied himself. Why do you suppose he said, I don't say anything but what my Father says? Because he's dependent upon the Father for wisdom. Now, verse 4, chapter 17, I've glorified thee on earth, is the words of Jesus. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I, what is had? Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was created, he had a glory that he no longer has. Is that what that means? So what did he empty himself of?
Glory.
Wisdom and glory. Did he not? Well, what about power? You know, when Satan came against Almighty God, they kicked him out. They kicked him out of heaven. Jesus himself said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was there. He was there. Now, why die, go to the cross, descend into hell, defeat the devil if you've already got the power over the devil? For us, because we were so powerless. Philippians 2 said he made himself of no reputation. A man with reputation today has assets. People have a particular mindset when they see him. Oh, do you know that so-and-so? He's done something or said something that's elevated him to some particular position. So Jesus came unelevated. Now we know that from Isaiah 53. Where it said there was no beauty in him that men should desire him. He came empty. Is that right? And one translation says he stripped himself. Well, a little kid gets out in the mud, gets dirty. Usually you undress them at the back door. You take off their shirt and their shoes, their socks, because you don't want them to bring the mud in the house. Well, what did Jesus strip himself of? His wisdom, his power, his glory. Those three things we know. Why? Because when he leaves here, he says, Becky, the works that I do, shall you do also. If he did that because he was God, there's no use him assigning that task to me. Mm-hmm. Because I am not God. And if it was his godly power, by right, you know, creative order, when he and the Father and the Holy Ghost created the world, if that's how he healed the sick, no use leaving that for me to do. Because I can't. But if he did it under the power of the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Ghost still here?
Yes.
Is he still here?
Yes.
Is he still full of power?
Yes.
Does he still heal the sick?
Yes.
Does he still heal the brokenhearted?
Yes.
Does he still bring peace to impress mine?
Yes.
How? The work that Jesus began, Acts says, the work that Jesus began, the work that Jesus, then he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the works that I've begun to do, shall you Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Got plenty of scriptural proof that we are healed. How do we know healing's God's will? Such good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Need to read and believe, do we not?
Yes.
We need to just read and believe, read and believe. Look at Luke. Let me show you when that anointing, that power came upon him. He came empty, but he didn't stay empty. Thank God, he came empty. He didn't stay empty. And this was his baptism. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended. Who is the Holy Ghost? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So is the Holy Ghost the power of God?
Yes.
Did Jesus come empty?
Yes.
You don't know you sin in the Holy Ghost with the power of God if you already had it. I mean, I should bring you a Coke if you've got one in each hand. Save my steps. Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. Voice came from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Did Jesus say, I do always those things that please the Father?
Yes.
Did he heal the sick? Does that please the Father? Did he heal the multitudes? Does that please the Father? Has the Father changed? Has Jesus changed? Does the work of God go on?
Yes.
Is the anointing still here?
Yes.
Is the power that heals still here?
Yes.
Does it still heal?
Yes.
Makes you wonder what our problem is, doesn't it? Well, one of the accounts of the baptism says the Holy Ghost came on him and remained. Came on him and remained, and I like that. Came on him and... So all through his earth walk, we see him yielding to the Holy Ghost. We see the power of the Holy Ghost working through him. We see the power of the Holy Ghost to teach, to preach, and to heal. And he said, I'm going to my Father, and the works that I do, shall you do also. And all that I've begun to do and to teach, shall you do. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever, he'll do it. Well, he wants me to do the works he did, and I go to the Father in Jesus' name, and he says, sorry, not doing that. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. Powerful, isn't it? Holy Ghost came on him and remained. And then he said, disciples, you stay in the upper room. For what purpose? Because you're going to receive power. Does Jesus' life prove to us that healing's for today? Does it? Well, we thank you, our Father, the word made clear. Thank you so very much. We're dependent, Father. We can't make it clear without the anointing. So we don't want to fail to say thank you so much for your presence here, for your anointing here, for the word on deposit in us and among us. We honor that word. We thank you for your promise. And we're so grateful that you didn't change. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. That you didn't change. That you're always the same. That what you did, you still do. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.